Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and welcome to the Good Friday edition of Just the News and John Solomon Reports, a podcast that I think by now you know a little bit about. We're so grateful you're listening. And today, we're going to buckle our seatbelt for a really in-depth interview with Senator Ron Johnson, former chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, the man who, along with Senator Charles Grassley, investigated the Hunter Biden laptop, the Hunter Biden business deals, the Hunter Biden suspicious activity financial transaction reports, a lot of investigating they did. They were impugned before the election. They were accused of distributing Russian disinformation. There were claims that the laptop was a Russian dirty trick. But the truth of the matter is Senator Johnson's investigation, Senator Grassley's investigation, stands true today. They had the facts, nothing more. The attacks were false and vicious and unfounded in fact, and those came from the news media and the Democrats alike. And I thought it would be fun to bring Senator Johnson on this show to go through what we've learned, what still needs to be uncovered in this Hunter Biden scandal. Today, there are reports that the book that Hunter Biden releases will acknowledge that laptop that John Paul McIsaac, who was on this very show, the Delaware shop owner, turned over to the FBI, that very well may have been his laptop. How about that, huh? And to think Twitter and all of our colleagues in the news media who attacked me and others, the New York Post, they were censored for reporting information on a laptop when we had done due diligence. We had determined the chain of custody. We had determined that the laptop was real. What a travesty. What an unnecessary assault on the personality and likeness of people who just were trying to get the truth, like Senator Johnson, like Senator Grassley, like myself, like my colleagues at Just the News, like Seamus Bruner, my co-author on the book Fallout, and the folks at the Government Accountability Institute who did some good reporting. We've been impugned unnecessarily, but we've stuck to the facts, and that's what's important. You know, the heck with these name-calling. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't bother me at all. The key is to get to the facts. So today, we're going to be with Senator Ron Johnson, extended interview. We're not going to do a monologue. We want to get right to that. He's got far more interesting things than I could say. But I want to break in with some breaking news that has occurred at the United States Capitol on this Good Friday, the weekend before Easter. There was a car that apparently rammed into 2 Capitol police officers, injuring them. The driver was apparently shot. The car then smashed into a security barrier designed to keep someone from penetrating the Capitol complex. This occurred around noon at the U.S. Capitol on the Senate side. We are praying for the well-being of those officers. We're trying to learn more here at Just the News about the suspect.
about the condition of the suspect who appears to have been shot or injured in this incident, whether there's any other involvement or attacks. Follow us live at justthenews.com. We have all the latest breaking news. We're still trying to get a handle on things. You know, these things evolve over time. But the video footage show an injured driver appears to have been shot. Ambulances and paramedics attending to him, as well as the police officers. National Guard redeployed across the Capitol, the People's House, once again under a potential assault or threat or security threat, something we don't like to see on any day. Let's keep an eye on this. We're all watching it. We're going to go to quick commercial break with our great sponsors, our wonderful advertisers. And when we come back, you know what we're going to do. We're going to have a conversation with the one and only Senator Ron Johnson, Republican from Wisconsin, former chairman of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, and the current ranking Republican on one of the most important committees that people don't know about on Capitol Hill. It's called the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, PSI. A lot of important oversight there. We're going to get to all of those issues with Senator Ron Johnson right after this commercial break.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest. He's been on the show many times. We are always grateful when he comes on. Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin is here. Senator, welcome back to the show.
Well, John, hope you're doing well.
I am indeed, as we head into this Easter weekend. And you made some news, as you often do, with a very important oversight letter that got transmitted, I believe, on Wednesday night to the Intelligence Committee, Justice Department, ODNI. And it asked for all intelligence reports, including anything FISA-related, concerning three Chinese nationals, three Chinese figures, who had associations with Hunter Biden and James Biden, the son and brother of our current president. Tell us what prompted that and what reasons Americans should have to be concerned about the association with those three Chinese nationals.
Well, first of all, John, I'm really talking to the master here, so I don't think there's anybody who knows more about the subject than you do. So I approach the subject with a little bit of trepidation, but you know, let's face it, after we issued our report right. End of September, that kind of shook some more information loose. I think Tony Bobulinski found out that Hunter Biden was paid $5 million by CEFC.
Right.
That was supposed to be part of the $10 million that was going to go into the Sinohawk, the business he was supposedly involved in with Hunter Biden. And so he believed he was getting shafted by Hunter Biden, and he probably was. And then you also had the Delaware computer repair shop owner that also saw our report, contacted us about Hunter Biden's computer. We were in the process of verifying that. He got a little antsy and decided to take that to, I think, Rudy Giuliani in the New York Post. And they were willing to break that story, certainly before we were able to verify its authenticity.
Right.
And so what we've seen is from our initial report, which the mainstream media utterly dismissed, because we couldn't, I guess, show something that was grossly illegal. It's not our job to do that. We're involved in oversight.
Right.
But we did show all kinds of what I would consider very troubling foreign financial entanglements within Biden Inc. and all the characters that Hunter Biden's been associated with. And one of them, now I'm going to actually answer your question, one of them was Patrick Ho,
right,
who was associated with the Yi Jianming, Gan Wendong. This group, this investment group that they were hoping to tap for, you know, initially $10 million. But these were individuals that had ties right into the Communist Party of China within the People's Liberation Army. And Patrick Ho was an individual that apparently was subject to a FISA warrant.
Right.
Which means somebody somewhere suspected him being a counterintelligence threat. These are the individuals that Hunter Biden is associating with himself with, trying to, you know, develop an investment firm with. In the end, when Patrick Ho was indicted, the first phone call he made was to James Biden. I've heard that he was really trying to get a hold of Hunter. Hunter, in the end, got paid $1 million to represent Patrick Ho, this individual that, again, the U.S. government issued a FISA warrant on because of the counterintelligence threat that he might have posed.
Right.
And so it's just boggled my mind with what we revealed in our report, the follow-on revelations from the Delaware computer repair shop owner, Tony Bobulinski, all this information, and yet it's radio silence with the mainstream media. They just do not want to cover the story whatsoever. But when we see new evidence, Senator Grassley, he's been a steadfast partner in these investigations. We're going to continue to look into this and hope to get some information out of the Biden administration. But you know full well, it was like pulling teeth getting information out of these
Trump.
I'll call them deep state agencies under right? President Trump. I mean,
that's true.
President Trump, as much as he wanted this stuff made public and unclassified, still couldn't get it done.
It's amazing.
Because they slow walked our requests, ran out the clock, hoping that President Trump wouldn't get elected. And unfortunately, he was not reelected. So now we've got the Biden administration, Merrick Garland, Avril Haines. We're writing the letters. We'll make it public. Hopefully, public pressure will prompt them to at least provide us some information. And of course, we're also looking at the Department of Justice, the U.S. attorneys that are apparently investigating Hunter Biden. But again, I'm not holding my breath on that.
Right. No, there's no doubt. This is going to be a big week next week for Hunter Biden. He's got his book, his multi-million-dollar book coming out, and the media is already fawning over it about, you know, the story of addiction. And listen, addiction is a real disease. I don't wish it on anyone, and I feel sorry for anyone, and we should be sympathetic for anyone who's involved. But addiction and maybe have physical characteristics that cause you to be addicted to drugs and things, but you're not addicted to the people that you associate with. And I just want to walk you through some of the people that your investigation identified that Hunter Biden did business with, hung out with, affiliated with. And let's start with the oligarch, the guy who was the head of Burisma, a guy named Zolchevsky. At the time Hunter Biden began working for him, he was under investigation by what, two countries, Great Britain and Ukraine, I believe, at that moment?
I believe so. And it had, $25 million of his assets seized
frozen, right?
By London Bank.
Right.
But nothing to see there.
Nothing. And because of your good work and the documents that your committee turned out, we know that twice while Hunter Biden was working for him, the State Department, George Kent, that guy with the bow tie, made himself famous during impeachment. He made reports that he believed Burisma had made bribery payments on Hunter Biden's watch. Not that Hunter Biden made the bribery payments, but that the company was still engaged in bribery. Once, I think, in December 14, the other in December 16, just as Joe Biden was leading office. So that was the sort of company that Hunter Biden was making his millions off of in Ukraine. And then they had his fellow board member and multi-business partner on numerous business partners was a guy named Devin Archer. I think your investigation found out he became a convicted felon as well, right?
Well, he certainly was. And he joined the board of Burisma either at the same time or maybe a few days before that.
Right.
And this is all happening in the 2014 timeframe. This is right after the Revolution of Dignity in Ukraine. But Devin Archer was also involved with a group of other people, James Galanis and Bevan Cooney, in defrauding a tribe,
right?
A bond fraud in which he was convicted, I think the tail end of 2017, early 2018. Oddly enough, Devin Archer's conviction was overturned by the judge.
Right.
Now it was reinstated by a certain court of appeals, and I think he's still now probably waiting sentencing, but right. Sounds like he's going to go the full appeals route, and it'll take years for that to be adjudicated. But what amazes me and what piques my interest here is the people that Hunter Biden has been associated with, they've been convicted of crimes.
Yeah. So
Devin Archer, Bevan Cooney, I mean, this group of people, Remember that there were emails, I think it was between Bevin Cooney and Devin Archer, saying they wanted to run this Indian bond fraud through Rosemont Seneca rather than through Christopher Hines. They wanted to run it through Hunter Biden's company because he's a little more flexible. And thought it was time to put a little honey in Hunter's pocket.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, John, that just sounds a little suspicious.
Sure.
But again, when you hang out with people that are committing crimes, that are engaged in fraud, it's a little suspicious to me. And what's also suspicious to me is how the long arm of the law never seems to really touch and go after Hunter.
Yeah.
And I think that's a story yet to be told. And quite honestly, an investigation that needs to uncover exactly what happened within the Department of Justice and the unequal application of justice, potentially not applied at all to people like Hunter Biden, who's well-connected within Democratic circles and now the President of the United States.
It's just remarkable. And Patrick Ho, the man you wrote your letter about, he gets convicted in 2018 after hanging out with Hunter Biden and after being the focus of at least one FISA warrant, according to court records. We're not making this stuff up. It's sitting in the court. So you got Devin Hunter convicted, Galanis and the others convicted. You've got his boss in Ukraine deemed to be a corrupt figure. Now you got Patrick Ho. And this week here at Just the News, we broke the story that for a period of time, Hunter Biden entertained trying to help a fugitive Ukrainian oligarch by the name of Firtash. By the way, a guy who was indicted by his father's administration for corruption, Joe Biden's administration, Obama Biden indicts him in 2014. In 2015, he's entertaining talking to the State Department, according to Mr. Firtash's own representatives, according to emails and text messages. These are all people that Hunter Biden, I guess, chose to be with. And when we hear the book next week that he is a sympathetic figure, we should feel sorry for him. When you look at the cast of characters he hung out with, he made money with, he made millions from, what do you think the media has ignored about this? What part of the story are they trying to suppress?
Everything. let's face it, they picked their candidate for president, Joe Biden.
Right.
Now, by the way, it was interesting. They actually were doing some reporting on Biden Inc. during the Democrat primary, when probably the liberal progressives in the press probably would have preferred Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, but kind of once everybody coalesced around Joe Biden, forget about all those investigations into the Biden family and their enterprise, his brother and sister-in-law and Hunter. Now let's do everything we can to support him. So no, the press has been suppressing this forever. You mentioned Patrick Ho. You know, one of the gifts that Hunter received was a diamond. Patrick Ho was convicted of money laundering. Guess what kind of commodities money launderers use to launder money?
Oh, of course.
You know, plus they use all kinds of convoluted financial transactions.
Right.
To also hide their activity. It gets extremely difficult to unravel all these things. You take a look at this and your head starts swimming of all the different, for example, Hudson West, there are, what, 8 or 9 different Hudson West companies?
Right.
It's hard to keep all this stuff straight, and that's the exact purpose of it. You try and hide it through multiple different transactions. That's how you launder money. But again, Patrick Ho, convicted of money laundering. Hunter Biden gets a diamond. Money launderers use diamonds to launder money. And also, he was paid $1 million by Patrick Ho. So, no, this is pretty obvious that this is a serious problem when it comes to counterintelligence threats, potential extortion, because now you've got President Biden dealing with the Chinese. What all does the Communist Party of China have in terms of information that just might impact U.S. policy toward China if Joe Biden and Hunter Biden knows what they know and want to make sure that they never reveal it publicly? So it has enormous blackmail potential. The type of thing the press was completely worried about was Donald Trump. It was all false. There were no connections. There was no blackmail that Russia could hold over President Trump's head. But here you've got obvious potential blackmail threats, counterintelligence threats under the Biden administration, and the press doesn't say, you know, say a word, not a peep out of them. It's amazing.
Unreal. It is, and I've seen this time again. It's just the desire, the lack of curiosity is willful. It isn't just, you know, boring or being bored by it or being lazy, which, you know, sometimes contributes to a lack of curiosity. There's a willful lack of curiosity. And there is this painting of this false picture. I know you and Senator Grassley have repeatedly been accused of conspiring with Russian disinformation artists. You didn't do anything such. In fact, many of the people you interviewed that, or you had contact with, or you sought documents from, or wanted to interview and didn't interview, were people that the Obama-Biden administration routinely dealt with for years. Why do you think you and Senator Grassley were dirtied up this way with these allegations that, by the way, never been substantiated in public? What do you think that was? Was that an effort to try to stop the story?
Well, certainly marginalized the story, yeah. I mean, they didn't want any of this thing coming out. They thought if they could threaten us with those types of lies, it might get us to tone it down or maybe back off entirely. But neither Chuck Grassley and I are willing to do that. We believe the American public needs to hear the truth on these things, particularly something so important that represents such a serious counterintelligence and extortion threat against the government of the United States right now, with President Biden being president. No, I mean, the bias of the media is just awful. I think it's interesting that the Judge Silberman is calling the press basically the Democrat broadsheet.
Yes, he did.
Talking about how dangerous this is to our democracy. You know, we need a free but unbiased press. Now, John, I'm always amazed at what you can dig up. You know, I've realized in my little investigatory career here over the last 6 years, people are pretty reluctant to talk to Congress because they figure their name will be eventually outed.
Right.
They can have pretty good confidence that the media will protect them from a standpoint of keeping their name quiet. And so it is the press that can really dig up information. They're probably the first people on the story. Now, what Congress brings to the table is we should have access to government documents to, you know, basically corroborate what some of the information is from investigative reporters like you, but it's been pretty difficult. It works really well when there's a Republican in office and the deep state wants to take that president down. They'll leak that information to their Democrat colleagues in Congress and in the press. But when you've actually got Republicans trying to uncover things, trying to get out of the deep state, whether it's Republican or Democrat administration, it's almost impossible to get information out of the deep state.
Yeah, it really is. And sometimes the deep state briefings get turned around. I know last summer you had an episode. You've been very eloquent about talking about this. And I know there's some constraints because some of the things that occur in a briefing are classified. But there was a briefing given about a certain group of Ukrainian officials, and the Democrats came out and made a claim of what the FBI said. And then you went back and reinvestigated and found out that the story that the Democratic staff had put out on the committee was not what the FBI said. It was literally twisted or contorted or wrong. I don't know how much you can speak about that, but I know it's frustrating that when you start to see people who get briefings twist the briefings, even though they're in the presence of witnesses. What does that say? I mean, what did that episode last summer that you and Chuck Grassley fought, what did that say about the process of even just getting an honest intelligence briefing?
Well, first of all, the FBI would never come back in and correct the record for us. So what you're referring to is we were trying to get a subpoena on Andrei Telyashenko,
right,
who, by the way, worked with the Obama administration and worked with the embassy.
Yep.
We had been briefed by the FBI that there was no intelligence threat with him. We could talk to him. And all we were doing was trying to seek his information when he was a employee of a Democrat-led lobbying firm, Blue Star Strategy. So we were just trying to get that information. Nothing really from his involvement in Ukraine when he worked for the Ukrainian embassy, but just under his employment. And so during like the third FBI briefing, because the Democrats didn't like the first two that said it was okay to talk to him, basically a Democrat staffer created a false transcript. It looked like a verbatim transcript, but it was falsified. The FBI never came back in and corrected the record. Of course, it blew up that subpoena to Andrei Telyashenko. Now, the committee did eventually subpoena records from Blue Star Strategies, but I don't think they ever fully complied with the subpoena. But that's just one case of Democrats creating false information. They create as senior Democrat officials in Congress create a false intelligence product accusing Chuck Grassley and I of soliciting Russian disinformation from Andrei Derkach and then disseminating. First of all, neither one of us, I don't think, had ever heard it, Andrei Derkach.
Right.
The only people that entered Andrei Derkach's false information into our record was ranking member Peters.
Right.
And this false intelligence product. So once again, just like it was true that the Russian disinformation during the 2016 campaign was created through the Steele dossier, bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and her campaign, the DNC, it's Democrats that solicit and distribute Russian disinformation, and then they falsely accuse Republicans of doing that. It's vile, is what it is. It's just sickening. And then the lapdog media just eats it all up and spreads their lies for them.
Yeah, they haven't learned. No matter how many times they got burned with bad stories on the Russia collusion case, and you think after you got burned, you'd be embarrassed. You'd say, next time I'm going to be more careful. They continue to fall for this time and again. And it has to be frustrating for those like yourself who've worked very hard to get the truth out. There is
let me quick correct you on something.
Yep.
They're not getting burned.
Yeah.
They're part of the process.
You think they're willfully participating.
Like they're seeking the truth. Yeah. They're looking for dirt on Republicans. They're happy to peddle it. They don't care whether it's true or false.
There are two.
But I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, but I should be corrected on. There are two well-known liberal journalists. I think they identify themselves. Matt Taibbi and Glenn Greenwald, who both have been saying, calling out their own industry, saying, listen, we may not agree with Donald Trump, we may not agree with some things, but the media is simply not honestly reporting the facts. They're no longer neutral arbiters. And those are reporters on the left saying that at some point there has to be this reckoning. You mentioned Blue Star, and I always meant to follow up on this, but you got some documents that showed Blue Star's lobbying effort, working the Obama Biden State Department, trying to get a deal for Burisma before Joe Biden left office while Hunter Biden was still on the board. That's all been chronicled. Your report does an amazing job, step by step, day by day, chronology by chronology. But after that report came out, there was an email that surfaced on the Hunter Biden laptop, which, by the way, we have confirmed with the FBI and other officials. They say it is an authentic document. It's not authentic laptop. It wasn't a fake laptop. It really was a Hunter Biden's laptop. But in which Blue Star sends an email saying they got a briefing from the Joe Biden White House in 2015, shortly before Joe Biden went to Ukraine, shortly before your timeline and my timeline shows Joe Biden began pressing for the firing of a Ukrainian prosecutor who was looking at Burisma. You never got that document or that attachment, even though it was covered by your request. Has there been any willingness by the Democrats or Blue Star to turn over that document that shows up in the Hunter Biden laptop?
I'm laughing. Of course not.
Yeah.
No, and that's why it's just so sad. It's going to have to be people like you and maybe people that love this country inside these agencies that will be willing to feed you information or through FOIA requests.
Right.
That's what's driven me nuts is we subpoenaed the FBI. We subpoenaed them.
You did.
We kept giving them another grace period. You know, we never got the documents we should have got out of the FBI. I mean, that's Christopher Wray's fault.
Right.
And I've been told they knew exactly what they were doing. They were just slow walking it. They were feeding us just the bare minimum to somewhat keep us satisfied, which I was never satisfied, but there just was nothing I could do about it. The President of the United States couldn't do anything about it. Finally, he released a bunch of stuff the day before he left office. But my guess is even that is grossly incomplete. There is so much that has been buried going down the black hole of history. It's just sad. It's just wrong. But the fact of the matter is, FOIA requests seem to be better than congressional subpoenas because
unbelievable.
They're actually enforceable in the courts.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You're right. There were moments where after you would get a production, make it public, I would get a FOIA from a lawsuit that had been pending for 2 years, and all of a sudden I'd have things that weren't produced, even though they were clearly covered by your subpoena. It is a travesty of thumbing the nose at the Constitution and the right of Congress to have oversight when you see that level of compliance. You're on PSI, one of the most influential. You're the ranking Republican on one of the more exciting committees in Congress, the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. Beyond the stuff you've worked on so diligently, are there any important oversight issues that you think PSI should be or is engaged in that will benefit the American people? Anything going on that you see that that Americans should pay attention to?
Well, one thing about PSI, if we do agree on investigations, we keep those private and we don't disclose them until we issue a report.
Right.
But I can tell you right now what I'm doing just on my own, having been chairman of Homeland Security for 6 years, watching the border crisis in 2014, 2015, then again 2018, 2019, seeing President Trump through just force of will, no help from Democrats in Congress, except for Kyrsten Sinema, who did sign my Operation Safe Return proposal to DHS, which did end up resulting in the return to Mexico and some of the agreements with the other countries, but no other Democrat helped at all in terms of solving the problem with unaccompanied children and family units. And then what Joe Biden did, even though his transition was warned, they asked, what can we do to prevent a crisis? They will keep our policies in place. They're working. They obviously worked. And the first thing they did in office, he
obliterated them,
ripped up those agreements.
Yeah.
And he ended the return to Mexico policy, and he's sparked this crisis, which, John, is far worse than anything I've witnessed in the last 6 years. It was all predictable. Now we're starting to find out that other people are noticing the depredations that I'm aware of. Kamala Harris should have been aware of these. She was in the hearings in 2018 talking
right,
about selling children,
yep,
talking about the rapes. Now we're seeing them dropping children from 14 feet. We were down there on Friday. One of the techniques of the human traffickers when they're ferrying immigrants across the Rio Grande is if they're interdicted, they'll throw a child over the side of the raft.
Oh, my gosh.
Into the currents of the Rio Grande so that CBP has to try and rescue that child. They don't rescue all of them. Children die. But again, the Biden administration knows all this. They knew all this, and yet they're going down this path. And what we have right now, John, is as close to open borders as you can possibly imagine. CBP was told that they need to process these migrants in 8 hours and disperse them. 8 hours. They don't detain them. They detain children, and they detain families with small children. But the people they're going to release, they're just releasing them into the interior. So that'd be families with children 7 or older. And we also found out those people they're releasing, they're not providing notices to appear. So there's not even the migrants that are being dispersed all over this country don't even have a legal notice to appear at an immigration court. They're home free. When that gets out, and I'm sure it's getting out already, just think of the flood. There are tens of millions of people that want to come to this country.
That's right.
Probably hundreds of millions, really. But tens of millions, millions just from Central America alone. We can't take all comers. As sympathetic as so many of the cases are, within that population, you have MS-13 gang and other gang members. You've got the drug traffickers. You've got the human traffickers. And let's face it, the migrants that are coming, the border is 100% secure on the Mexican side. You do not cross until you pay the fee. These people can't pay the fee. How do you think they pay it off? They pay it off in involuntary servitude, prostitution. Okay, they get beat. The beatings are videotaped. They send them down to their family in Central America for further ransom. These Biden administration is facilitating the multi-billion-dollar business model of the most evil people on the planet, and they know they're doing it. They know they're doing it, and they're still doing it, and they're getting away with it by the media. This is sick.
Yeah.
You can't tell the passion in my voice.
Oh, I can tell. I've known you a long time. I know this. This is personal for you. You saw it.
We were so close.
Yeah.
We were so close to securing the border, solving that problem, so we could turn our attention to solving the DACA problem, to setting up a legal immigration system that works for us economically. We were so close, and Biden Harris blew it all up. It's just awful. It's tragic.
It is. It's going to be something that's with us for a long time. And the sex trafficking, the drugs, the gang running, the human trafficking, the fraud, it's going to disperse across this country as it always does. That's the lesson we've learned painfully time and again. And but we're grateful you went down there this past week. You gave us a firsthand view, and we're so grateful for that. I know you were on Sophie Mann's television show as well, and we're really grateful for that, Senator, because so much of the blackout has been either the media intentionally not doing, or when they do go down there, the Biden administration not letting them report it. We needed folks like you to go down there and give us a firsthand account of what it was, and we're deeply grateful for that, for sure.
Well, I appreciate that. To bring a full circle back to China, being down there in the Donna facility with an administration minder, just telling us that we're going to let you keep your phones, but you can't take pictures. Then when we took pictures, telling us to delete them, demanding we delete them. It was so similar to being in communist China with the Communist Party minders. I mean, it was surreal, John.
Unreal.
This is supposed to be freedom. This is democracy. We are down the wrong path.
They might have forgot a thing or two about separation of powers, too. You are a separate and equal branch. You don't have to kowtow to the executive branch. They might have wanted to teach those minders a thing or two about the Constitution. I guess they might have forgot about it. So, well, sir, you are always we are so lucky to have you on. Always a delight. We learn so much from you, and we're grateful for all the hard work you're doing to expose the things that the rest of the country is trying to bury. We're right alongside you. We'll keep working and try to investigate some more stuff, bring some more things to light in the near future.
Well, you keep up the good work. You are one of the few investigatory journalists that are doing a great job. So thank you, sir, all of your efforts.
Well, and to you as well. Have a blessed Easter, and we'll be back in touch with you soon, I'm sure. I know our folks love hearing from you. So thank you, Senator.
Take care. Happy Easter to you and your listeners.
Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to do a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for the day.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, folks. That wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. We are so grateful that you've joined us on this show, that you listen, that you engage, that you help us in many different ways. We can't thank you enough for your support, for your listenership, for your readership at justthenews.com. And as we head into this weekend, where many Christians celebrate Easter and the Passion of the Christ today on Good Friday, as others celebrate Passover, and others just celebrate the advent of spring and beautiful weather and the blooming, I want to wish you and your family a blessed weekend, one where family and friends, when allowed, can enjoy each other's company. Remember, if you need a good steak, remember where to go. My friends at Kansas City Steak, put one on the grill. You need a good ham, they got that too. Lots of different things to draw from their menu. They support this show. They support Just the News, and we're grateful for it. But whatever you're going to do this weekend, whoever you're going to spend it with, I pray that God bless you that you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, no matter how you celebrate it. Until Monday, may you have a wonderful weekend. Get some rest. Enjoy that spring weather. Yes, spring has finally arrived in most of the country, and we're grateful for that. We'll be back Monday with another show. And until then, you can always go to justthenews.com to get the very latest, including the tragic security threat at the U.S. Capitol, still unfolding this hour at the U.S. Capitol on the Senate side. We'll keep you up to date at justthenews.com for all the developments.